Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld plans to headline Politics and Eggs in New Hampshire in 2 weeks, a must-stop for White House hopefuls. And Maryland Governor Larry Hogan expressed interest this week to CNN.
I'm not protesting every day about every issue, but when I stand up and certainly let people know when I disagree or when I think something is going on that I don't think is right.
And an email this week by former Ohio Governor John Kasich's political group reminded supporters that many have suggested Governor Kasich should run, and he is keeping all of his options on the table. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Good afternoon. This is Larry McEntee from Home Team Inspection Service, and you are listening to Health and Home on Huntington County Radio Station, WHCR-DB. Coming to you each Friday at 3 p.m., this is my second show, and I appreciate the support and feedback that I received last week, and I promise the shows will get better. We will focus on the home and the homeowner and try to identify things that you should do, things that you should watch out for in and around the house. We will be building a schedule that people can follow to do annual maintenance and when to do it, how to do it, and then when to call in the professionals. The second half of my show, every other week, will be Jeff Hazard doing health issues, and he'll be doing exercise and training. So that's where we'll go. I begin each show with a little bit to tell you about myself. This will help you understand where I'm coming from and who I am. I was born in Boston, so don't get mad at me. I'm a Red Sox, Bruin, and Celtic fan, but after sitting 16 years in the Giant Stadium watching the Jets and Giants, it came to make me a hometown football fan, so I don't like the Patriots. So don't shoot me, but that's where my loyalties lie. I am married to my high school sweetheart, Lynn, for 31 years, and have three grown children. Mike's 28. He's a struggling actor who has a great voice and tremendous stage presence. He just needs to be discovered. So anybody out there needs to discover an actor, I have one for you. I have a 27-year-old son, Matt, with autism, and despite never saying a word, he is the warmest, most loving soul on the earth. We will talk about autism as we approach Autism Awareness Month in April, and hopefully we'll have some guests to talk about autism and the impact around. I'm sure you know somebody with autism. When Matthew was diagnosed here in Huntington County at the Huntington County Medical Center in 1995, I didn't know anybody with autism, and today I can't tell you. I don't know a family that isn't affected by it. And then lastly, I have Jessica, 25. Jessica is Daddy's baby. She, at least to me, but she's a grown woman now, 25, director of marketing at a law firm in D.C., where she graduated from GW, George Washington University, and is fiercely independent and definitely her mother's daughter. Like most of you, my family is the most important thing in life and continues to make me the man I am and my motivation for what I do. I have a guest today. His name is Bob Emery. He's the current chief of Annandale Hose Company and a retired police officer. And currently, I think he's the sales manager, correct, of selling fire trucks. And he'll tell you a little bit more about himself in a minute. We're going to...
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Let's give you the weather. It's a beautiful day today. It's 54 high with 21 low and mostly sunny. It's gorgeous out there, but don't get used to it. Tomorrow is going to be sunny, but 35 high and a 17 low. Sunday is going to be mostly cloudy with another low at high at 39 with a low of 27. And Monday brings in lots of clouds with another temperature of 39 with a low of 25. And Tuesday brings that snow wintry mix back. So check with us that later and see what happens then.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
I'm back, and I have a guest today, Bob Emery. He's, like I said, he's the current chief of Annandale Hose Company, a retired police officer from Mansfield Township, and currently the sales manager. Bob is a longtime friend and coworker. We both worked at a company selling emergency vehicles to federal, state, and local agencies. First, I want to start by thanking Bob for his service as a volunteer fireman, but also for service as a police officer. We need to remember that these people like Bob, who at any given minute on a 911 call, can be asked to jump into action and put themselves in danger for us. And people need to remember that there's a great many volunteers out there that do this on a daily basis. Bob, welcome. Why don't you start by telling listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure, thanks. I appreciate you having me on. Born and raised in Hunterdon County. Been a resident of Clinton Township for 50 years. Did a short stint in the borough of Highbridge for 5 years. I have three children and married to my wife, Carrie. And like I said, we currently live in Clinton Township.
Okay. Bob, maybe you can tell us a little bit, what made you become a volunteer in the first place?
For our family, Larry, it's a tradition. My father joined the Annandale Hose Company in 1955, and my brother, myself, and our children have followed in my father's footsteps by volunteering there.
Okay. Now, what's it like being chief? Because I know it's different being a chief. I was chief one day. Back in, I guess it was like 89, I was lieutenant here in Raritan Township, and we had a situation over at Lipton Tea. It was a small fire, but from outside, you would have thought the factory was burning down. And I was chief then, and I tell you what, I never want to be chief again, because I had been used to being on the other end of the hose and in the fire. And standing outside directing people and putting people in harm's way was something I didn't relish. So maybe you can – and I think a lot of people out here don't understand that the county is all volunteer. And even the chief's responsibility is a big responsibility for somebody who's doing it for free.
Yeah, really, our position as chief of the department is no different than a career fire chief who's getting paid money to operate his department. In Clinton Township, Annandale, we have 42 members of our department. If we were to pay those members, our salary bill would be over $3 million. So it's also my responsibility. I supervise those 42 members. I supervise a fleet that's valued at over $4 million. And I supervise real estate that's owned by the fire department, the Township of Clinton, that's also valued over $4 million. So really, I'm operating a small company, if you will, by being chief of the department.
But how does that weigh? I mean, the equipment is fine. It's $4 million and the building's a bit, but people are people. And you just mentioned 42 members, and you're putting them in harm's way. I mean, you're giving them direction to attack a fire in a certain way. It's a lot of responsibility, no?
Oh, that it is. That's the worst fear that I have as being chief of the department, is one of my men getting hurt or injured, or worse yet, maybe killed at a fire call. It's the worst thing that could happen to anyone. I'd have to go and tell their family members that their family member's either injured or possibly even has died as a result of their actions as a firefighter. And, you know, you do think about it. It's not something that's in the forefront, but any human would think about that on any given day when we're out there doing what we do.
Sure, and you must have had that experience. It must be in your blood, because as a police officer, I think you've probably found yourself in similar situations.
Oh, absolutely. You know, every day you leave to go to work, I, you know, would always tell my family that I loved them, because really at the end of the day, you don't know if you're going to come home. But again, that's in the back of your mind. You don't dwell on that type of thing. But in the services, whether it's law enforcement, a firefighter, EMT, sheriff, any type of service, that possibility exists.
Can you tell me a little bit about the changes you've seen over the years? You've been a fireman a long time in Annandale. This county has changed quite a bit. I mean, like I said, I joined the Raritan Township Fire Company in 87, and I was in here for 4 years before I moved back to my hometown. And even in those 4 years, I saw drastic changes, and it's grown even more. I think, you know, Raritan Township's almost grown into Annandale. There used to be a gap in between. What changes have you seen that the volunteers, that people don't realize the volunteers face on a daily basis?
The changes are abundant. I've been a member of the fire company for 38 years. I actually joined when I was 16 years of age and went active when I was 18 years old. But back in the day when I first joined, we still rode the back step of a fire truck. You ride in a fire truck now that has four doors on it. It's got an HVAC system in it, seatbelts, and if you don't have your seatbelt on, it lets you know. But you know, just in apparatus and in turnout gear has changed dramatically. It really allows you to get yourself into a building or into a structure, and I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, because you know, you might get yourself in too far and wouldn't be able to get out. But just everything has changed. The fire service as a whole has changed over 100%.
How about the time demand? Because I know you spend a great many hours probably training and learning new techniques, probably more hours than you do at a fire.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, in Annandale, during 2018, we responded to 431 incidents. So obviously that's a little bit over one a day. And we train twice a month on a Monday night. The third Monday night is used for checking our apparatus, all of our SCBA, all of our fire trucks, your turnout gear, and the fourth Monday night is your annual meeting. But a member is required to participate in Firefighter One, which is a 200-plus hour program that the Hunterdon County Fire Academy provides to all of our members. And in order to be an active member and an active firefighter, you have to have that Firefighter One.
Just to give you an idea, when I took Firefighter 1 in Morris County, I think it was 40 hours.
Yeah.
So the demands have gone way up.
It's like a college course. The things that they go over and the test that they take. The test is actually written by Kane University in New Jersey. So it is a college test.
We didn't have a test. Our test was make it out of the smoke building. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about the average person out there now. You know, I see volunteers with blue lights. Can you tell people what that blue light means and what they can and cannot do and what they should do if they see one?
So a firefighter or an EMT operates their vehicle with a blue light. They have to have a license to do so. It's a license that's issued by the state of New Jersey. A blue light in New Jersey is a courtesy, if you will. And it's telling you, the operator of a vehicle, that they're on their way to an emergency incident. And the right thing to do is move over to the right and move out of the way and let the person go by. Some people don't understand what it is, and the guys follow them for miles and miles with the blue light going and can't get by them to get to the firehouse.
And understand, people, that the blue light doesn't allow them to go through red lights, doesn't allow them to disobey traffic laws. So if they're stopped at the light, they have to stop. They can't go through the red light, just like you or I. It's a courtesy, as he said. So you see one, get out of the way. You never know when they're going to respond to somebody you know. And I don't think you want to be the reason why they didn't get to where they're going. And that's first aid and fire. So do me a favor and make sure that you show the firemen and EMS the respect that they have for that. We're going to go into the home when we get back and talk a little bit about how the fire company can help you with incidents in the home and what we can do to make our home safer.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional personnel is your staffing solution. located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Parent Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back. I'm here with Bob Emery, Chief of Annandale Hose Company Number 1, and we're talking about what homeowners can do to make their house safe. Bob, you've been to a lot of house fires over the years. Can you tell us maybe some stories of some and what things they could have done or should have done to prevent them and some easy steps that can be taken?
Sure, Larry. You know, it has been cold. It's not cold right now, but it has been extremely cold. And people have utilized a Class A combustible material to dump their ashes in from their fireplaces, whether it's a paper bag or a cardboard box. And those ashes can stay hot inside the actual coal, if you will, and for many days. So when they put them in these Class A combustible cartons, it doesn't take long. We've had some very large fires in condominium complexes, in single-family homes, because people discard their ashes from their fireplace improperly. You should put them into a metal container and allow them to be in the metal container for several days before they're actually dumped out and discarded.
Yeah, I've seen that, actually. I've seen where we had a fire on a deck, and the ashes were actually ice cold on the top, but the bottom of the container was red hot.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the other issues people do is they pack boxes around their furnaces, hot water heaters, and you're supposed to actually have a 36-inch area around those machines, if you will, so they don't catch things on fire. Space heaters is another issue. People put space heaters too close to combustible products and catches the combustible products on fire.
Yeah, we could do a whole show on space heaters, I'm sure. And you mentioned that about the furnace, and it's funny. I did an inspection up in Lincoln Park the other day, and the homeowner had put a box on top of the flue pipe in the furnace because the flue pipe took a right angle turn, and it was a convenient place to stash this box. But when he did it, the furnace was in the middle of summer, probably was ice cold.
Right.
The box was nearly burned through and was charred on two-thirds of it. When I pulled it down and showed it to the homeowner, I said, you know, this was one day away from probably setting your house on fire. People are surprised at that. One of the things you talked about condos, and I remember when I was in a fire company, fireplaces in condos are notoriously small. And the biggest problem we had is people would overload the firebox. Is there any guidelines on the fireplace?
I don't know that there's any guidelines. Some condominium projects don't allow you to burn. They're there, but they don't allow you to burn in them. Some other ones, they're like you say, they're very small. They overload them. We just had a call in the Beaverbrook condominium complex off of Route 31 South, where the neighbor had a fire going in the fireplace. The neighbor next door doesn't use the fireplace with wood. They use it with gas. But the air was so heavy that they're in the same structure, if you will. The two flue pipes are in the same structure. The air was so heavy, the smoke came up out of the chimney and then came back down into the neighbor's chimney. And the neighbor thought something was on fire in their house. And there was actually their neighbor's smoke from the fireplace that's right next door to them. So, in those types of situations, those fireplaces are what I like to say. They're kind of for show, not go, if you will.
So you should limit what you put into it.
Absolutely.
And read your instructions because, I found somebody had a 5-log fire in a 12-inch deep firebox, and the fire was rolling out the front and up the living room wall.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, they're for the little log that you buy in
Duraflame,
shop, right?
Yes.
Like a Duraflame log. They're not for, like you say, 3 or 4 logs. It's just kind of a mood setting type of fireplace.
Great advice. What about smoke alarms? I know they just changed the law, actually January 1st, that smoke alarms in houses now, if they're battery operated only, they're going to have to be the 10-year sealed battery. But in the carbon monoxide, if they're 120, they can be battery backup. But I know that through my inspector's business. But what do you suggest? There's code, and we're going to leave code out of it because we're not code officials. But what do you suggest that you see in a house that people should have as a basic minimum?
Yeah, as a basic minimum, you should really have one fire extinguisher on each level of the home. So if you have a 2-story colonial, you really want 3 fire extinguishers. You want one in the basement, one on the first floor, and one on the second floor. If you want to be aggressive, you could probably put one in the attic. But the minimum's 1. We like to have them, or for them, we like to have them.
You said smoke extinguisher. You mean smoke alarm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Smoke alarm, yes.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't want homeowners fighting fires in attics with fire extinguishers. I'd rather them call you.
Not at all. Yes, the smoke detector, in the attic. We do see that. And you had mentioned the 120 hardwire systems with a battery backup. That battery backup's there to protect them when there's no power in the house. So if they lose power. However, they need to keep in mind those battery backups need to be changed every time you change the clock.
Right.
So if you change the clock, you're changing the 9-volt backup battery in that 120-volt system.
And one word of advice is write the date when you buy your smoke detectors because they're only good for 10 years.
Yes, there's a sticker on the side of the smoke detector.
Fill it in.
You're supposed to fill it in.
People say I'll remember, but they don't.
Right. And, I mean, you don't want to wait. If the 10 years comes, take it down, take it out of service, and put a new one in service. Will it work? Sure, it'll still work. But the sensor in it isn't as good as it was in year 1 or year 2.
And I don't know that you want to risk your family's life on saving, $40 for a smoke detector. In many towns that you can check with, if you can't afford them, we'll provide them for you. So ask your township and the local fire department. Sometimes there's programs going on that will actually help you with that.
Absolutely.
And CO detectors the same way. I mean, we recommend one on each floor. But I think the code it requires you to have one near the sleeping area. But
Correct. Yes. That just, says there should be one outside the sleeping area to protect the family during sleeping hours. In my house, I have a raised ranch. I have 2 carbon monoxide alarms, one on the subdivision level, the basement, and one on my living level. Because you only have one chance when it comes to carbon monoxide.
And I'll tell you a quick story about that. And one I'm very proud of my 3 kids on. My son was 14. My middle son was 13, and my daughter was 12. And we were down in Princeton at a meeting. And not to say we leave them alone that long, but their grandparents are 2 doors down. I got a phone call on the way home on 206, and my wife took the call. And I'll never forget the chilling thing. My daughter says, "Tell Dad the house is on fire, it's full of smoke, and the fire company's on the way." And I could hear the sirens in the background. And, I turned white and started stepping on the gas. And lo and behold, I hit every light between Princeton and Hillsborough, turned red on me. And I didn't feel like dying in a car accident on the way to home to a fire. But I said to my daughter, "Well, where are you?" And she said, "Duh. We're outside by the mailbox where we're supposed to be." And I tell you that story because, they got their brother who's autistic and would not leave a house, would sit in his bedroom. They got him dressed, and they got outside, and they went to the mailbox, and they called Grandpa. Now, Grandpa lives 2 doors down, and my daughter reminded me that it must be serious because Grandpa ran across the grass, which he never does. But, you know, I started slowing down. My wife says, well, what are you doing? I said, they're outside. I don't care what happens to the house. And it was the carbon monoxide detector. The flue fell off the furnace.
Okay.
And it would fill the house with carbon monoxide. But the kids knew when the alarm went off and they didn't know what it was. They knew to get the hell out of the house.
Right.
And I taught them that from when they were 5 years old. Get their brother and get out. I mean, yeah, maybe they should just get out, but get your brother and get out. And they did exactly that. And I can tell you the biggest warm feeling I felt was when I pulled up and there's three engines in front of my house, an ambulance, a police car. My kids were sitting in the back of an ambulance getting a CO check, and they were venting my house. So I can tell you that was the warmest feeling in the world. And knowing it was only a little, it was a little oily mess in my house, but it wasn't something that was deadly. But they responded to the carbon monoxide tech because we could be burying three kids, I said, you know. And so, you know, that goes both ways. The fact that I knew, heard the whistles in the background made me feel comfortable that they were there to help. And that. So what about, you know, hydrants? Because that's a pet peeve of mine. What do you, you know, what's your, you know, people don't understand that, that there are some and there are some places with no hydrants.
That's correct. I mean, in Clinton Township, we're serviced through the town of Clinton Water Company and the Highbridge Water Company. And about 50% of Clinton Township is covered by hydrant system. The other 50% has nothing. So we have to haul whatever water into the scene that we need through tankers. And, you know.
I bring that for two reasons. One, that means when there's a fire, don't go following the fire trucks to the fire. Because if you're in Clinton Township and you're in the 50% area, there are going to be trucks rolling in constantly behind you to help.
Absolutely.
And I mean, people follow the fire truck think they're going to watch the fire, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you're going to be following fire trucks from pretty far away. But, you know, you're going to say, oh, what's Fairmount Fire Company doing in Clinton Township? Well, they're part of our tanker task force that comes down and provides us with water. So, you're going to see six tanker trucks flowing continuously from a water source, the closest water source, filling up, coming, dumping in a pond that we have established at the end of the driveway or on the property, whatever. And the guys are suctioning water out of these portable ponds that are sitting on the road.
And Bob's not exaggerating either, because I was the first truck in at the plumbing supply fire on 31, and we fought it for about 20 hours. And I think, Bob, I think you were in charge of water supply for a while there, and we had tankers from Pennsylvania.
Yes, absolutely.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, so people understand there's a lot of operations going on around a fire scene. So don't think just because the trucks are there and they're fighting the fire, you can go watch. There's a lot of activity that might come in behind you. So be aware of those things. It matters. The other pet peeve I have about hydrants is if you have one near your house, clear it.
Yeah, we promote that on our Facebook page constantly. If you have a hydrant on your property, clear 36 inches in a circumference around the hydrant. That'll give us... That'll help us save time, because if you don't dig it out, we have to dig it out. And if we're digging out a hydrant, that means that we're not getting water on a fire, possibly at your residence.
Understand, a truck will pull up with about 1,200 gallons, 750 to 1,000 gallons on it. It goes very quick if there's a serious fire. And if they're not if they're looking for water, or they're looking to dig out a hydrant that may be frozen solid, it could mean the difference of minutes, because to establish this, the water supply could take time. And firefighters are not allowed to enter your house without a water supply. They're not going to go in there and without being able to protect themselves and to actually do an effective search.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, with today's construction, Larry, in the old days, we used to be able to say we would have a half hour, if you will, that we could actually fight the fire before it got so well involved that you had to back out or whatever. But in today's construction, that half hour has turned into minus 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, and it all has to do with the type of construction that's out there today. The old 2x10s, 2x12s, or 2x8s, they're gone. It's TJI beams and other types of construction methods now.
Perfect timing, Bob, because we're going to go into that construction stuff that people are seeing in the new construction, the trusses and everything, after the break. So we're going to take a little break here, do the news, and then we'll get right back to you with Bob Emery. This is Larry McEntee on the Hunterdon County Radio Channel. Thank you.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Okay, we're back. Just to make a little correction, we're going to talk about extinguishers for a minute because we mentioned them before, and I think we were confusing them with smoke detectors. But a fire extinguisher should only be used for life safety. And, Bob, maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, fire extinguisher in the residence is to get you and your family out. It's not there for you to fight the fire. Mistake a lot of people make is they attempt to fight the fire on their own before they even contact the emergency services, dial 911 for the fire department to respond. That's not what a fire extinguisher is in the residence for. It's in there to help you and your family to exit a burning structure.
Yeah. And remember, the first sign of danger like that, call 911, start the clock. Because, you know, you realize if you have a fire, the firemen are going to have to respond. They're going to have to go to the station, get the truck, and they're going to have to show up at your house. You can always turn them around. The police will show up first. Many times the policemen are the first one, and if it's small enough, they may be able to handle the situation. But get the emergency personnel heading to your house. I can remember one time at 2 o'clock in the morning, a woman called when I was a lieutenant here in Raritan, and we got to the house, and it was a shorted outlet, and it was not a real big deal. But you know what she said to me was the sweetest sound in the world was those sirens because she knew Pelt was on the way. She was home alone with three kids, and it made me feel good because it reminded me of why I was a volunteer fireman, because that woman at 2 o'clock in the morning with three kids thought her house was going to burn down.
Yep.
Get the clock running. Dial 911. Tell them, be calm. Tell them the instructions. Tell them what you got, and then get out of the house and let the professionals do it. Too often a grease fire, people don't know how to put it out unless you've had training. It requires some skill.
Yeah, I mean, even the operation of a fire extinguisher requires a skill.
Sure.
I mean, if you don't know what you're doing and you just deploy the fire extinguisher, most likely you're not going to put that fire out.
Sure. And I don't know how many people check on them. They should check on them manually, make sure they're in the green, make sure the pin is in place, and know how to use it.
Absolutely.
It doesn't hurt to refresh, and it doesn't hurt to teach your kids, you know, because it may be that, you know, that they're the ones that need to use it if they need to get out.
Yeah. I mean, in Clinton Township, and we didn't touch on it, but I do want to touch on it. In Clinton Township, we have a very robust fire prevention program. Our fire educators visit almost every single school in the township, whether it's a township school, middle school, kindergarten, nursery school, daycares, anything. Our firefighters are going in there during Fire Prevention Month to teach fire prevention, fire safety. They teach, as you said before, Larry, find a meeting place where your family's going to meet in the event of a fire. And, you know, the old adage, stop, drop, and roll. You know, right. They teach that. So,
do you guys have a trailer in Annandale?
We do. We have a fire prevention trailer. Yep. Actually, it's an old trailer that was in service for many years through St. Barnabas. St. Barnabas got rid of it, and we purchased it from them. And we've had it in service in Clinton Township for many years. So,
because I know in Mont-Olive they have one, and my kids actually went through it. And I credit that kind of training to know that the alarm went off to find a way out and get out.
Absolutely.
It sounds hokey, and when you do it with them and they crawl through the little spaces and they got to crawl out the house and down the window. But you know what? My kids know which window to go to because they know which one they can jump out of and which one has a roof. And it's important, I think.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, you know, we had top finders.
Yep.
Top finders were placed on windows of children's homes, and firefighters look for that kind of stuff. So we still give them out. If anybody calls and asks for them, we give them out.
I don't know if Annandale does it, but I know Mount Olive does it. They actually take an inventory. Like you can call and tell them that you have somebody in the house that needs extra time. They know my son is autistic and lives in the house. Two things happens. They get a 911 call. Police know that he's there. So they're coming in, and they know that if they see an individual that's not responsive and has a knife in his hand, they know how to respond. And the fire department knows that he won't listen to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with CAD systems at our local 911 centers, we can input whatever information we want. We have computers in our apparatus now. We use a program called I Am Responding, and I'm able to pinpoint any address and put any information into that address that, in your case, say your autistic son, I can download that information into that address, and it's readily accessible to me on arrival.
And I can't tell you how that much is important for you pulling up, knowing that there's an individual that will not respond to verbal commands and maybe hiding underneath his bed, even as a grown man.
Absolutely.
I say my son, he's 27 years old. He's 6'2". I mean, he's still my little baby. But, but let's go back to let's talk about construction, because one of the things I see as an inspector is I did a condo the other day, and they used 2x4 A-frame trusses. Perfectly fine, solid, structurally sound, support a lot of load from the outside. But the homeowners had cut stairs into the condo and cut all the supporting members to put plywood down to store things. Now, tell me what would scare you about that picture?
I mean, you know, trusses scare me all by themselves. Although they are strong construction-wise, when they have fire included with them, it's not a good thing. They're not nailed together. There's a metal plate that's pressed in between the separate boards in order to connect them to each other. So what happens is, when there's a fire and it gets hot, the wood expands or the metal expands and the metal drops out, which means that either the floor is going to collapse or the roof's going to collapse. Could be a firefighter on the roof, could be a firefighter on the floor. So trusses are not our friend in the fire service.
Yeah, I remember a stat that said a 2x4 burns through in 20 minutes and a 2x8, it's like 2 hours. Is it? I mean, it's roughly, I mean, that. But, I mean, that's what people don't understand. And when one truss gets compromised, people, the whole roof is compromised, whereas you could have a broken rafter of a 2x8. It doesn't affect the two rafters next to it.
Correct. Yeah. And I mean, that goes along with saying, too, and I think we brought it up before, was say a TJI beam in place of a 2x10 floor joist. And basically a TJI is 1x1 or 2x2 piece of wood on the top and the bottom, and it's connected together with a piece of half-inch plywood in the middle.
Right.
So again, is it strong? Does it do the job? Absolutely. However, fire burns quickly through a piece of plywood versus a 2x10 or a 2x12 floor joist.
And understand these are devices that are used in the most expensive houses and the cheapest apartments. And that's why I think Bob's point before was get out. Call 911 and get out, because the fire is going to move very quickly if it gets going, and you don't want to be part of it.
Absolutely. And I mean, even the furnishings, Larry, furnishings in a home burn so much faster today than they did 40 years ago, say. I mean, it's gotten so bad that it's a concern of ours. Firefighter cancer is a concern of ours and should have been a concern of ours 40 years ago or 50 years ago. Absolutely. But it's a more of a concern today just because of the environment that the guys are going in and what's burning inside of a residence or inside of a business. It's really bad stuff today.
Yeah, I was lucky. I came into the fire company I had hip boots at first, and then they had bunker gear my second year, and they also went to positive pressure air packs and full Nomex hoods and stuff. Before that, men would fight fires with high pressure hoses and you know, no breathing air. So it's come a long way, but understand that with that comes expenses. And I'll take a minute to do like a PSA here. That's why when your local volunteer fire company or your EMS squad sends out a fund drive letter, respond, send a couple bucks. A couple bucks goes a long way, because the gear is very expensive. And most of our townships are very generous with us, but there's a lot of stuff that we could buy that we need. Bob mentioned that the townships, most of them buy their apparatus and provide a place for them. But at the same time, there's personal gear, the safety gear, there's new equipment, there's foam, and all your donations go to that. So when you get that letter, don't think that it's just beer money, because it's not beer anymore, because I don't think there's beer in many firehouses anymore.
No, not anymore.
I mean, unfortunately, the legality system has taken care of that. We used to have a beer and had a bar, and it was nice to go in and have a beer, and people self regulated in a sense. But today's law, insurance rules and everything else will never happen. So don't think that that's what it's going for. Most of it's going for gear that is going to be used to protect you. We saw a lot of changes, and also in apparatus. You mentioned it before. I said enclosed cabs. And then this is a subject close to me and Bob's heart, because Bob sold fire trucks, and I sold the chief's car. And as a matter of fact, I think I helped sell his chief car he's driving. But it's changed a lot, and people think that it's just glitz. Tell us a little bit about your apparatus.
We have a standardized fleet in Clinton Township. For the most part, we operate C-grade fire apparatus. We do have a KME squad that we have, which includes extrication equipment on it. We respond not to motor vehicle accidents. But, it's do they look pretty? Yes. Fire trucks look pretty no matter what, as far as I'm concerned. The firemen are very proud of their apparatus that they ride in, and it's kind of a badge of honor for them. So very rarely do you see a dirty fire truck, but we operate three engine companies in Clinton Township, which means that they're trucks that go out of the door and they have 750 gallons of water on them. We have a tanker, which we roll out the door, and that has 2,500 gallons of water. And we have a 100-foot tower ladder in Clinton Township. And a lot of people will say, what's the tallest building in Clinton Township? Well, it's not about the tallest building. It's about vertical reach. It's about different peaks and valleys on residential structures today that you can't climb anymore with roof ladders because they're so big. So it's not about the highest building, although the highest building in Clinton Township is Exxon Research, of course. But it's not about that any longer.
It's funny because when we bought the aerial back in 91 in Raritan Township, the first tower truck, people said the hospital's only four stories. And I took the council over to the Concord Ridge, and the setback's 35 feet. Row park cars another 25 feet. So it was 70 feet to the front of the gutter. Mm-hmm. And then also all those chimneys that you see that are framed, when they get cooking, all that is 2x4s and vinyl siding, and you can't get up there without an aerial ladder. So understand, we like big trucks, and I like big red trucks, and I like shiny trucks, but they all have a purpose, and hopefully we're not using them that often. And what I found in Huntington County, and I find this when I do a lot of things around the state, that it's probably one of the best mutual aid companies, counties in the state, in the sense that there's not a lot of rivalry. I mean, I can remember being in Raritan Township, and a lot of Raritan Township is close to other fire companies, and they'd be blown out with us, and we didn't care who got there first, because the people whose houses are in trouble don't care what it says on the side of the truck.
No, I mean, in today's day and age, Larry, you can't do it by yourself anymore. You used to have 50 volunteers, and you used to have 40 of those 50 volunteers that would come out and respond to an incident. As I previously said, we got 42 volunteers, but I can count on about 20 of them to come out, during any time. Well, so I depend on my mutual aid partners. We depend on them so much, we actually formed the Fire Alliance up north, North Huntington Fire Alliance, it's called. And our partners in that are Annandale, Lebanon, Highbridge, Clinton, and Quakertown. And we back each other up tremendously. We have a staffed engine on once a week, and we're hoping to expand that program. But people move to Clinton Township and our surrounding communities from areas that have a career fire department, and that's what they're used to. So we respond in, and they think that we're a career fire department getting a paycheck. And the fact is that we've left our home, we've left our meal, we've left our family to come out and help others. And that's what we've signed up for.
And the other problem with that is it used to be community guys working in the area. Now they go out of the area to work. So during the day, everybody's scrambling, I think.
Absolutely.
And this is your volunteer fire companies making these alliances like that to save you money. Because without that, they'd be hiring paid crews. Like the EMS, a lot of towns have gone to paid EMS during the day because they can't get the crews. Fire companies haven't been able to not go that far. So you think about that when that envelope comes, remember them and send them a check. We're going to take a commercial break right here, but we're going to be back and we're going to finish up with Bob. And I hope you guys will learn something, and I hope you understand a little bit more about the fire companies here in Huntington County.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, everybody, I'm back, and we can start wrapping up, though, Bob. But what are probably the things that you want people to know about the fire situation in the house and what they can do to prevent you being called?
Sure. I mean, you know, you have equipment in the residence that needs to be checked. You know, you need to make sure that you have operating smoke detectors. You need to make sure that your carbon monoxide alarms are operational. You would be very surprised the amount of residents that don't have a carbon monoxide detector. Like I had said previously, you have one chance at carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide will kill you if you're...
And you know, remember, it's odorless. You won't know it's there.
And you can't see it.
And you'll fall asleep.
Correct.
And you just won't wake up.
That's correct. The other thing is to check your electrical cords, your extension cords. Extension cords are meant to be replaced on an annual basis. A lot of people move furniture around and end up putting their furniture on top of an extension cord. And what happens there is that that'll short out that extension cord and it'll start a fire. It'll break down the material that's sitting on top of it. And over time, it'll start a fire. So, you know, the other thing is that if you have a space heater in your residence and it's an electric space heater, make sure it's plugged directly into the wall, not into any type of power strip or any type of extension cord. Those space heaters pull a lot of electricity, and it's better off that they're plugged directly into the wall.
Sure. And you know, I got to tell people, with YouTube today, there's no reason not to know whether you should plug something in or do something, because if you Google it, it will tell you things like that, a space heater. Can I plug a space heater into an extension cord? You'll see hundreds of videos that tell you no. One of my pet peeves in my house is chargers. I mean, we have so many chargers for the phones, for the laptops, for the tablets, and they'll plug them into extension cords, which they shouldn't be. Or they'll leave them plugged in and they have frayed ends. And my son's forever breaking cables, and I look at the end of it. Now, it's only a small thing, but if he leaves it on his bed where he does, I mean, we're asking for something, right? I mean,
you know, I'll tell you a short story, but we have a crazy cat at home. His name's Jeter. And Jeter loves to chew on things, and he chews on your phone cords and breaks them, and they're frayed, and the metal's showing. I mean, you know, if you continue to use those type of things after that kind of stuff happens, it's not good. You need to be careful.
And when you need that is when you need to charge a phone is when that cord is frayed.
Exactly. Exactly.
One of the things I suggest to people is when they're going away on vacation or going away any time, is walk around the house and unplug things that are not necessary. There's no reason to have certain things plugged in and drawing power, for one, which is less of a thing. But why leave something to possible change of overheating? And
my pet peeve, Larry, is the plug-ins. So the things that you plug in the wall that provide a scent, they are a fire hazard. And, you know, if you leave them plugged in and there's no fluid in the container, that's not good.
Never thought of that.
I make my wife go around if we're going away for a week, and all those plug-ins are unplugged because...
It also goes with that. I would think you'd want to plug those in where you can see them, not behind things like curtains and stuff where you won't be able to see them.
Correct. Yep, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people have them in a bathroom or in a hallway or whatever.
A countertop in the kitchen where you can see them.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. I mean, that's a pet peeve of mine.
Now, we didn't mention GFCIs, and I wanted to mention those only in the sense that I do inspections and everybody panics they don't have them. I mean, because you don't need to have them if their house is 25 years old, but they're a good thing to have around water, kitchens. Do you have any advice on those? I mean,
you know, I other than what they do, I don't have a lot of knowledge of them. Basically, my knowledge of them is if there's a problem, it's going to break at the GFI outlet instead of at the breaker panel. Okay. I believe.
That's the one that are at the plugs, and then there's ones that are built into this whole circuit. And I'm going to have we can leave that one because I'm going to have an electrician on it next week or the week after, and we're going to talk about that. But as a fire department, you got to know those things trip. They are there to protect you in case something drops in the water. They'll cut the power very quickly, but they have to be wired correctly. I can tell you how many times I go into a house and testing outlets and find the hot and in the neutral reversed. Electricity still works. The light still goes on, but the electricity is running the wrong way. It affects a lot of sensors and affects a lot of overheating things.
Yep. I mean, and you know, we come in with our thermal imaging cameras, which is a piece of equipment that we have that we're able to look through your walls. And, you know, if you smell something burning or an outlet's burning or something, we're able to find those burning items with this thermal imaging camera that we can see through things with. So.
And that's a great device. I mean, they use it for rescue, too. So if they're going in looking for somebody, they can see through smoke a little bit within some relatively.
Yeah, the new cameras that we just got in Clinton Township, we can actually use for hazardous materials incidents as well.
Right.
So you can change the setting on the camera. It'll actually allow you to see diesel fuel running down a brook or something like that.
Pretty impressive.
It's definitely a good piece of equipment, and you try not to come, you know, dependent on it. But that's one of the tools that our guys bring in the house or bring in a structure with them every time they get off the fire truck.
I saw some things in Bermuda a few years ago, and technology can bring fire companies a long way. I mean, it was a heads-up view in the SCBA pack.
Yeah.
So they had communications, they had air, they had thermal imaging. And you talk about it comes at a cost. And, you know, I hate to put a cost on somebody's life, but it'd be great if we could all have all the newest, greatest gadgets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, each one of those cameras that we have in our apparatus are about $9,000.
Yeah. So there's one I tell you about, that $25 donation, that $100 donation. That's what it goes for, is that fifth camera for that station that's near your house, maybe.
Yeah.
So understand that, yeah, there are a lot of bells and whistles, but when you need them, you need them. And I can't tell you how impressed I am. I want to thank Bob for coming. One, I want to thank him for his service as a police officer, something that, you know, is real dear to my heart. My grandfather was a police officer. My uncles were police officers. And if I'd stayed in Boston, I'd probably be a police officer. You know, one thing I tell you, police officers, I've never met one yet that goes to work thinking that he's going to harm somebody or do anything. And I'm tired of the rhetoric out there that thinks police officers are, you know, there are bad police officers. Ed Koch said it once. He said he had 27,000 cops, going to have some bad ones.
Sure.
And I think that's the same with the population. But I have yet to meet a cop today that wants to go to work, wants to draw his gun, wants to be a hard ass. I think they're out there, and 9 times out of 10, they're out there to protect us.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we go to work, we do our job, and we come home. You know, that's the main thing, is to come home at the end of the shift.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate what you've done for your community, and I appreciate what you've done up in Annandale, because I know you've been chief several times, and I know the guys up there respect you and like you, and that's an important part of it, because leadership is key. I knew if I went into a fire and I knew the guy commanding the scene was I trusted him, I felt empowered. It scared me when I didn't.
Yeah. You know, we're treated very well by the municipal government in Clinton Township. The mayor and council, you know, give us the tools that we need to do our job. But, you know, again, without the people, you can have all the tools you want, but if you don't have the people to operate them, it's a whole nother gamut. So, again, we depend on our partners, and I, you know, appreciate those departments. Our Clinton First Aid and Rescue Squad is another one of our partners, and without all those folks, we couldn't do what we do. So it's a team effort.
And in Pinal County, you have some great fire departments. So appreciate them. Show them you appreciate them. Say thanks once in a while. It doesn't hurt. I've never met a fireman or a police officer that minded you saying thank you. With that, I'm going to wrap up. But I got a funny thing I'm going to end today is I don't get into politics because I don't believe the political mess out there has a winner yet. And I consider myself a moderate Republican. But I find myself more and more independent and looking for leaders that I can trust and believe in. It's just like I talked about the chief of the fire department. You got to believe in them. If you don't believe in them, you know, the whole thing falls apart. So I want to share a quote from JFK with you, and it's my favorite quote by him. It says, he said, "Let us not seek the Republican answer or the Democratic answer, but the right answer. Let us not seek to fix blame for the past. Let us accept our own responsibility for the future." That's the crux of the matter. I think people need to focus on that. We need to stop blaming each other and start fixing and start negotiating for making things better. And I'm tired of hearing it from both sides. And I don't like the idea that if you don't agree with me that you're wrong and you're evil. I grew up in a family of seven of us, and they were all Irish, and we all talked at the same time. And, you know, everybody had an opinion. Doesn't mean anybody was wrong. It just means that everybody was not my opinion. And I also went to school in Williamsburg, to tell you the truth. And Williamsburg was a colony that was founded on oration and debate and consensus and negotiations. Have we forgot what that is about? Look to your neighbors, embrace their view, and change your mind once in a while. I mean, I sat on the board for 10 years, the Board of Education, and I changed my mind. And people used to say to me, "You changed your mind." I changed my mind every day based upon information I was given and learned. I do it today. I inspect houses, and I see something new every day. So leave that with that. And remember, JFK was a great orator. I don't remember him. I was too young. But I love his speeches, and I think we can have a good day. I think we're going to get ready here. Hold on. I'm at 57, so I got a few seconds. But in 2 weeks, we're going to have a licensed electrician on, and we're going to have a realtor on. So we'll have a licensed electrician. If you have any questions, remember to email me at lmcinty@hometeam.com. Or you can call me at 973-945-3935. Leave a message if you get my voicemail, and I'll be happy to include your topic or question for our electrician and our realtor. Look forward to it, and we'll go from there. Have a good day, and enjoy the weekend.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
"When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo."
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
"And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does."
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
Ahead of the State of the Union address, President Trump has decided to speak out about several military issues. After the president said sending U.S. troops to Venezuela was an option on the table, Margaret Brennan on CBS's Face the Nation asked him if he would personally negotiate with Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro to convince him he should leave office.
Well, he has requested a meeting, and I've turned it down because we're very far along in the process. You have a young and energetic gentleman, but you have other people within that same group that have been if you talk about democracy, it's really democracy in action.
He also said he wanted to leave U.S. forces in Iraq so he could keep a close eye on Iran. He also claimed that Defense Secretary James Mattis resigned because he told him to do it. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before